Hello, my name is Tim Law with Success Learning Systems, and today I will be interviewing Matthew Best of Best Solutions. He is the president and owner of Best Solutions, and he has a passion and skill set for entrepreneurs and a unique way of expressing this. What he has done is he's worked with a number of different entrepreneurs in the last several years, and has accomplished a great deal of success with these individuals. And you may want to take some notes on this as you listen to these ideas during this presentation. Matthew, what got you started on this pathway of helping others as you do?
Well, Tim, first let me start off by thanking you for doing this interview. I really appreciate the opportunity and, you know, the opportunity to share some great information with folks. And, you know, that is probably one of the most important questions, I think, for any entrepreneur is to really get back to the idea of what's your passion with what you do. And for me, my passion, you know, what started this whole journey for me goes back to, you know, it started off in politics. It's gone into running. It's gone into a lot of different areas. The underlying theme underneath it all, what I finally discovered, was really summed up in what is now my tagline, which is unleashing excellence. It used to be unleashing courage. And what I came to realize was unleashing courage. Courage is a great thing. And I only had one view of it. And unleashing courage, great, but to what end? And what that answer finally came out for me was unleashing excellence. And that's a recent change, actually, for myself. And when I take a look at what was it, when I took a look and figured out how I came to this conclusion of unleashing excellence, I took a look at what were the things that I was doing with different people. And again, it starts off very, very young, actually. When I was 14 years old, this is a story I don't tell a whole lot, but I'm starting to tell a little bit more now. You know, I was in the hospital for 11 days as a 14-year-old. Memorial Day weekend, this started, where I was in a soccer tournament, and I was an outside defender, and during this kind of like the old me, I guess you could say, I scored a goal from half field. I mean, it just doesn't happen very much. But I scored a goal from half field. It was a penalty kick, half field, and I remember that moment. You know, kicking it goes up, and it's like this, you know, slow motion moment in a movie. And it goes up, and everyone's just watching the ball. And it's good, you know, it's got this high arc and everything, and it just perfectly went over the goalie's hand and rode the back of the net all the way in. And the next day, I remember I'm laying in bed, doubled over in pain, and I've got, you know, just a terrible situation. I end up going to the hospital. You know, life-changing moment. For me, obviously, 14-year-old who finally, you know, at that point, you know, 14, you think you're going to live forever, and all of a sudden you're hit with mortality, and so that's really the beginning. And then it carried over into politics. I've done everything you can think of when it comes to politics, from the national, the state, the local level. I've worked with candidates. I've done strategy. I've done managing of campaigns. You know, worked with people recently. A friend of mine ran for a local district judge seat and it, part of the minority party in the area, and helped her win by 2 votes. You know, lots of things when it comes to politics, blogger, campaign person extraordinaire, you name it, done it all. Taking that to marathon running. I've done 5 marathons. My 6th marathon is going to be the Hartford Marathon this fall. You know, lots of training that goes into that. 1% of Americans will ever run a marathon. I have no idea what the small percentage it is that are crazy enough to do multiple marathons like myself. started a business in August of 2004. This business in August of 2004 had started a previous business before that. When I was, what was it? I was 24 years old, I think. 24, 25, something like that. Started this business when I was 28. You know, started it when my wife wasn't going to be working in a few months because we were pregnant with our 2nd child. My whole life has been a series of challenges. And so, you know, that's really been my passion, is going back to the idea of courage initially to face these challenges. But courage takes on a much broader sense when you're going into, really, the passion I have when I'm working with people is using courage as a means to an end, and that end is unleashing their excellence. That's when I take a look back at all the things that I've done, it always comes back to the sense of excellence ultimately. I use courage in order to get to the sense of excellence, and that's really my passion. That's what I'm doing with people. And that's really the best answer I can give to that question.
Well, that comes through very clearly. Now, the 11 days that you were down, that was with what now?
That was with ulcerative colitis, or at least that's what they thought it was back then.
Okay.
Wow. Never really sure what it was. You know, frightening experience at that age. I remember laying on the bed and, you know, I was just recounting this with somebody just last week, and even just recounting it, you know, it's tough to deal with, but it's, you know, I remember laying on the bed one time, and my mom was standing over me, and I could get it out of me to ask her to move because her breath was hurting me. I mean, that's how much pain I was feeling.
Wow.
You know, and again, 14 years old, but that's probably, when I look back at that, obviously one of the most painful experiences I've ever gone through in my life, but at the same time, one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And I know that's like so cliche, for everybody talks about horrible things that they go through that are really blessings, but it's absolutely so true. Each time you know, I've gone through some kind of struggle or challenge, you know, and that's probably the biggest challenge that even to this day, you know, there's still effects of that I'm still dealing with, that, you know, it's kind of because it was so painful, that, you know, but it's still a teaching moment even now, you know, more than twice that age already, that, you know, I'm still dealing with that. And so I'm still able to go back to my purpose, though, of unleashing excellence and taking from that experience. So it's been a blessing. It's been a painful blessing, but, you know, that's kind of where I really look at what started this journey that's been going on for, as of today, 18 years now.
Mm-hmm. And now, Matthew, how would you define excellence?
How would I define excellence? I think that's a great question, and I think a lot of that goes to how I define success. And it's not my definition of success, but it's a definition that I've adopted. A company that I'm affiliated with, Resource Associates Corporation, I use their definition of success. And their definition of success, I'm going to take this slowly because there's three parts to it, and it's long. But I want to utilize this this definition to help with the definition of excellence. Success is the continuous achievement of predetermined goals, stabilized by balance, and purified by belief. I'm going to say that again. This is something
that's really good.
You want to jot this down, and it's going to take a little bit to sink in, but success is the continuous achievement of predetermined goals. That's the first part. Stabilized by balance. That's the second part. And purified
by
belief.
I'll go through each of these.
Mm-hmm. Very simply, you know, again, continuous achievement of predetermined goals. That means success is a journey. It's not a destination. I know that's the old cliche, but I'll tell you what, even with what I do right now, you know, I get new insights all the time. That's the neat thing about doing what I do. I'm getting insights all the time, and it's from clients. It's from the things I read. It's from the people I talk to. Tim, you've given me a ton of insights. I mean,
that's a two-way street, believe me.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's just really exciting, and it's not just for those of us who do this professionally. Everybody, you know, you should be getting something out of you should be pulling away so many insights from people you talk to. But getting back to the definition, you know, continuous achievement of predetermined goals, that's all about, I love to use the analogy of the marathon, because continuous achievement of predetermined goals when it comes to a marathon can be used in so many senses. It's about your training schedule. Every single day that you have a run is a predetermined goal. And so as you build up, you know, you don't just get up one day and decide, I'm going to go run a marathon today. You know, the vast majority of the population isn't going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even for myself, I've done 5 marathons. I know I can do a marathon, but if I haven't trained for it, I can't complete it. Right now, mm-hmm. today, I could probably not do it because I've only been training for the Hartford Marathon for 3 weeks. I could do a half marathon very easily because I'm already up to a point where I can run that. Could I possibly do a full marathon? Well, it would really be a struggle. But if I had to, I might be able to do it, but I wouldn't count on it. I'm just not there in the mileage to go that distance. So when I think about continuous achievement of predetermined goals, it's about continually accomplishing your goals that you set, these mile markers on the pathway of success. Stabilized by balance. That's the second part of the definition of success. Stabilized by balance very simply means, you know, you're not looking for perfection in all areas of your life. I don't think it's possible to be completely balanced and have everything, you know, be like, you know, what was that movie where it was Pleasantville? You know, everything is happy in, you know, every area of your life. I don't believe that that's what balance is. Balance is really about who's in control of your imbalance. And so at certain parts, certain times, you're going to be focused on your financial part of your life. Certain times, you're going to be focused on the physical part. Certain times, you're going to be focused on family, different areas of your life. And so other areas, you're not focused on, which means you're not given as much time, energy, or effort to, which means they're not going to be as fulfilling. They're not going to be as satisfying as the other areas that you are focusing on, but you're determining what you're spending your time, energy, and effort on, as opposed to, you know, spending all the time, energy, and effort on a certain area of your life, but you're not determining the part that you're going to spend time on. You know, maybe it's a health issue. Well, now you're going to spend time in that area, but because you don't have a choice, you got to spend time in that area. That's getting into imbalance. And so you don't have a choice as far as where am I spending the different time, you know, that I have right now. So stabilized by balance is really getting into a little bit of the sense of control. In one sense, we have very little control over anything. This is one area where you can say, okay, well, right now I'm focusing more of my time on this area. Does with what I'm accomplishing, does it line up with the area that I'm spending more time, energy, and effort? So that's the second part. And the last thing is stabilized by balance, or is purified by belief. Purified by belief, you could be the richest person in the world, but if you hate what you're doing, you're violating your own belief system. You're violating your own integrity. And you can have all the money in the world, but if you're miserable, is that really success? It's not. I mean,
no,
it's
not at all.
It's not success at all. You know, it reminds me of the story that I heard about a consultant who was on vacation. He was in this little seaside village, and he saw the guy go out in the beginning of the day, and in his little fishing boat, and comes in at the end of the day, and he's got this whole nice boatload of fish, and he goes up and talks to him, and the consultant says, you know, boy, you got quite a good business going on. He saw this all week long, he saw this happen, where the guy would go out and come back, and he'd have a nice boatload of fish, and he's like, boy, you're really onto something here. And fisherman's like, yeah, you know, I'm doing pretty well, and you know, I have time for the family and all this kind of great stuff. And the consultant says, well, that's great. What are you trying to accomplish? Well, you know, I want to make sure that I have enough for my family, and I'm doing all the things that I need to for that. And the consultant says, well, you know, if you start hiring out other boats, you know, you could probably pull in more fish, which means you could then probably start a company which would be processing the fish and canning it, and then you could get a big, you know, marketing firm, and they could market it out worldwide, and you could have this big distribution center, and then you'd have your own fleet of boats and this, that, and the other thing, and this huge complex of everything, so that, you know, you could spend more time with your family. And the fisherman looked at him and said, well, I could do all that, but I'm already spending the time that I want with my family, you know, without doing any of that stuff.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And that kind of, when I think about purified by belief, it kind of goes back to that. You know, he could have had all that success and everything, at least in the consultant's eye, but he's already got what he wants. He's got the balance.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the purified by belief, which is in his own integrity, and he's accomplishing the things that he wants to accomplish. It's his own definition of success. Success is not something that necessarily has to be material. So
mm-hmm.
applying that definition of success to excellence, which was your original question,
mm-hmm.
when I think about excellence, it's really about, you know, it's really incorporating that definition of success and saying, am I doing everything that I can, that I'm able to? Am I being everything that I need to be in order to fulfill my definition of success? Or, you know, the think of the, whatever the opposite, whatever the labeled opposite of excellence would be, maybe mediocrity or whatever you determine that is am I slacking off? Have I just spoken different things, but I'm not willing to do anything about it? I'm not willing to be the type of person that I need to be in order to be excellent, you know, to be successful, to be excellent. So it's really comes down to this choice of, am I willing to be the person that I need to be in order to be successful? And again, successful mm-hmm. is not some kind of destination. It's this process that we go through. Or am I going to say it but not willing to be it, or not willing to do the things that I need to do? That's when I look at excellence, that's what I look at. And I go back to, you know, marathon. You know, I go back to politics. I go back to starting, you know, entrepreneurism, you know, laying at the hospital bed. Who was it that I needed to be? Was I being myself, being the person that I needed to be? Was I doing the things that I needed to do? You know, if I don't get out and I don't train, if I don't keep up with my training schedule as I've set it out ahead of time, then I cannot possibly be excellent in running a marathon. And it's not about being the fastest, because I'm not mm-hmm. the fastest marathon runner. I'm somewhere in the middle, which I'm perfectly fine with, because speed doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is the process that goes through it, the changes that I go through, the lessons that I learned, and just the thrill of accomplishing that goal. So hopefully that answers your definition of,
sure,
you
sure.
know,
no, that
the
was
question
fantastic.
Of what's the definition of excellence?
Mm-hmm. No, that was, and I realize that's one of your core principles, so I wanted to kind of pin you down on that. The other one that I wanted to ask you about is, I know you do a lot of work with entrepreneurs, and you have a unique way of looking at it. If you could just kind of explain a little bit, Matthew, as far as, you know, your business, and how you kind of define entrepreneurs with your unique viewpoint or vantage point. That would be wonderful.
This is a great opportunity, because I love talking about this. When I work with,
I can see your passion
about,
coming through as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. Entrepreneurs that I work with are a very special breed. And I'm going to give you the description, and then I'll give you the label. And the label is going to make a lot of sense for people. And people that listen to this call, they're either going to say, oh, my gosh, I have that. Or they're not going to have a clue, but they're going to know somebody that has it. And you know, the people that I work with, they are typically, they're very creative individuals, or they surround themselves with creative individuals. They are, you know, they're smart. They thrive on a challenge. You know, these are people who are driven. They have no problem with motivation. So what I'm working with my clients, it's not to get them motivated. They have more than enough motivation. And the best analogy that I've come up with to this point is these people, if, you know, you go to the grocery store, you see the sample table, and there's typically, you know, 1 to 4 different items on the table, and that's, this is how grocery stores set up these sample tables to entice people to taste something and buy something. Ultimately, the entrepreneurs I'm working with, what they would do in this case is they would go in there, they'd set up a table with 1,000 different items on the sample table, right? And because they're all great items. And because in, as they're setting it up, they probably come up with some more items beyond the 1,000 that they were already prepared to set up on the table, because they keep creating new ideas. And their mind just doesn't stop with creativity. And, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, these are all great items, so I got to push them all right now, because there's the biggest fear that these entrepreneurs have is the fear of lost opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so the encompassing idea that I created around this, the label, if you will, is EADD, Entrepreneurial Attention Deficit Disorder. I mean, that really defines everything. And where I came up with this concept was I took a look at myself in the mirror and I put a label to it. I don't have ADD, but I've had EADD. And there are some great strengths with people who have EADD. This is not something that, you know, is this terrible thing that you got to cure. You know, if you got EADD, you should be celebrating, because you are creative, you are driven, you thrive on a challenge. You know, you've just got a bundle of energy. You have no problem with motivation. You're just, you know, you're out there going out there, you know, constant. You're giving 110% constantly. Right? Those are some great, great characteristics for people. They're some of the best characteristics that especially entrepreneurs can have. The
so
negatives.
Like, I don't mean to interrupt you for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
It sounds like what you do is you kind of help direct people, channel them, take all those energies and everything and channel them so in a way that's very, very effective for them. Is that an accurate view?
Yeah, that's an accurate view, and I wanted to summarize that on the negatives. Because this will become very clear. The negative characteristics, and these may sound familiar, the negative characteristics of EADD are, you ready for this?
Okay.
That these people are creative, they're driven, they thrive on a challenge, right? And they have no problem with motivation, right? It's the same characteristics. And so these same characteristics are both positives and negatives.
Mm-hmm.
They're positives in certain circumstances, and they're negatives in other certain circumstances. All of those things are great, great characteristics for somebody who's running a marathon. They're all great characteristics when you're going out and you're talking with a client or a prospect. They're great characteristics when you're doing strategic planning. They're great characteristics for individual things. They're terrible characteristics when it's something simple. Because now, like answering your email, because where's the challenge in answering your email? There's
mm-hmm.
no challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden we have to create a challenge. So we self-sabotage ourselves. And if we've had a series of successes, well, gee, all of a sudden, you know, in successes, maybe you've had a bunch of sales that it just seemed really easy. Well, now all of a sudden there's no challenge in that. So now we got to start creating our own challenges, which means that we probably slack off on making our phone calls, reaching out to prospects, setting up meetings, all these things. And all of a sudden, as most entrepreneurs have experienced, but especially people with EADD, you're on the roller coaster ride. You go through these ups and these downs, right? Because we thrive on the rise. And all of a sudden you get to the top and it's like, well, gee, this is easy. There's no challenge. Right? And subconsciously, you're going through your mind, well, I thrive on a challenge. Well, then I better create a challenge here. So I'm going to slack off and not do anything and then be, oh my gosh, I'm hurting financially. So it gets to the bottom so that I can then go gangbusters again and thrive on that climb again. And so that's, you know, going back to the question was, you know, the same things that are positives are the negatives. And what I'm doing with these folks is really, it's getting them to acknowledge things as great ideas, but allowing themselves to put it off to the side. So it is about getting focused. And it's allowing yourself to focus. It's allowing yourself to be small and simple so that you can accomplish more. It's allowing yourself to do less. But in doing less, you accomplish more. I mean, this is an idea as old as, you know, humanity probably, but it's applying it in an entrepreneurial context. And you know, when I'm working with people on that, it's just amazing to see the results that happen when we start applying this in an entrepreneurial setting, you know, those basic concepts, but taking it to more specific to individual businesses, individual people. And when they start really understanding it, they start really getting it away from just the mental, but down into their core, when they really get it, boy, changes really start to happen for people.
Certainly makes a lot of sense. So by basically narrowing their focus and that kind of thing, what you end up doing is, instead of them trying to go in 1,000 different directions, you narrow them down, you know, considerably, and, you know, kind of use their skill sets where they're best at or whatever, and, you know, just help them, as I say, kind of pick a couple different key goals that they can really not only get started on, but actually focus in and follow through on, so they actually get something done.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good summary.
Kind of like spinning fewer plates, basically, but just doing, yeah, you know, the ones you do just a little more effectively.
Absolutely, which goes back to the whole theme that I have of unleashing excellence. They can be excellent at the few things that they're excellent at, and the other things that they're not as excellent at, they can push off to the side for now. Mm-hmm. So it's really about
possibly delegate that out to somebody else that's better at that skill set. Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, it comes back to that sense of excellence, because these people thrive on that. And so it's getting them to really understand, well, what is it about you and your business that you're really excellent at? Because if those are the only things that you're focused on, man, you're going to just take off, especially if you get rid of the things that you're mediocre and the things that you're not good at, and even the things that you're good at. There's a huge difference between good and excellent.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes you got to get rid of the things that you like to stay focused on the things that you're really passionate about, that you're excellent at, because those are the things that are going to carry you, especially in difficult financial times like we supposedly have, you know, in this time frame. You know, you got to focus on what you're excellent at. You can't be all things to all people.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Matthew, do you think you could give our listeners maybe two or three useful tips that they could, you know, do now that would, you know, help them, you know, today? You know, maybe a couple tips that you found with your patterns. Again, I use Robert Kiyosaki's definition of intelligence as the ability to make better distinctions in our life. And with a number of entrepreneurs that you've worked with, what are some of the useful patterns or tips or ideas, maybe two or three of them that you've used that you've probably had the most impact with when you give these to the some of your clients?
That's a great question. I'm more than happy to share that. You know, I would say the first thing is have a consistent reading program. Allow yourself half an hour, even if it's 15 minutes a day, to work on your own development. Because, you know, the entrepreneurs I'm working with, these are people who are driven. They're working, you know, if they could work 30 hours a day, if there were 30 hours in the day, they would. But, you know, where there's a weakness is on that personal development. And that is a huge part. It's, you know, an entrepreneur, the business is only going to grow as much as the entrepreneur grows, ultimately.
Sure.
And the people within that organization as well. You know, it's not just the entrepreneur, it's also the people that are supporting. If you have employees, you know, as a coach, I can only take my clients as far as I'm willing to go. And then I'm worthless to them, because I can't help them go where I haven't gone. I can't help them grow past where I haven't grown. So, you know, that's probably the number one thing, is have some kind of a consistent, you know, growth. Whether that's seminars, whether that's reading books, I mean, you can find some excellent books that are not going to cost you a lot, but you can learn so much from reading, from, you know, coaching, from you know, whatever it is, anything you can do to develop yourself. That's the first thing that I would say.
Okay. Well, let me just throw a quick comment in there, Matthew.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It might have been Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, one of the big guys, said that you know, financial progress or development will exceed you know, personal development. You know, in other words, you're going to go. And I'm just kind of saying in a slightly different way on what you just said. Is that if you want to grow, let's say, as far as financially, you must get that personal development in, because otherwise it will just not exceed it at all. So I totally agree with you, and I know you and I have talked about a lot of different books and authors, and I know you're very much into you know, the self-help and everything along those lines. I totally, totally agree. That's a great piece of advice, absolutely.
The second piece of advice that we give, and this was just reaffirmed to me. When was it? Yesterday. I was listening to a teleconference from a guy, and I can't even remember his name. James Melinchak is his name, I believe. And
he's the one that does the college lecture series.
Yeah, that's right. He's
yeah,
a college
I have some of his stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the guy who's on there about, you know, being a well-paid speaker and some of the things. And I thought, wow, it's a free teleclass. Why not? You know, maybe I'll learn something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the biggest takeaway that I took from that call, this is a guy that most people have not heard of unless they've seen one of his speeches. But he's somebody who essentially helped Jack Canfield become an excellent speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows who Jack Canfield is. Here's this guy, but this guy's done over 2,200 speaking engagements. He's, you know, made millions off of speaking engagements. This guy knows what he's talking about, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I want to learn something from him. The biggest takeaway that I took from him, and this is the tip that I'd love to pass on, he was talking about, you know, don't worry about the technical stuff because you'll figure it out. It's what's important in speaking is to be yourself. So
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
where your hands are. It doesn't matter if you're how you're walking. It doesn't matter, you know, that even if you have a dialect,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to be yourself, you're going to tell your story and talk about what you're passionate about, you're going to be a successful speaker. Well, the same
mm-hmm.
thing is true with entrepreneurs. Don't worry about the technical stuff. You can either find somebody else to do it for you. You already know it, or you'll figure it out. Technical stuff is stuff that can be learned. It can be added. That's never the issue.
Mm-hmm.
For the entrepreneurs that I'm working with, it always comes down to attitude. And attitude is about being yourself. It's, you know, attitude is your habit of thought. It's about your values, your beliefs, all these things that are very core and internal. And so the second tip that I would give would be yourself when it comes to being an entrepreneur. Don't worry about, you know, when you're sitting down with a prospect, well, gee, let me see if I remember what questions I'm supposed to ask. Well, then you're not being in the moment. You're not sitting there. You're not actually there with your client. You're stuck up in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like your prospect is there telling you something. You're not listening because you're worried about what question you're going to ask next.
Sure.
Well, you're
sure.
probably leaving money on the table in that case. And instead, listen, be yourself. The question will come out. I mean, it's just that simple. If somebody says, well, you know, my stupid employees are doing this, that, and the other thing, the question is, well, why are you calling them stupid? You know,
mm-hmm.
how's that working for you? There's a question
mm-hmm.
that I love to ask. You know,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
It just kind of goes from there. So, you know, I don't go into a prospect meeting with a list of questions. I have no idea what I'm going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever somebody's profession, whatever your business is, you know, there's things that you already automatically know, and there's things that you don't know. You don't have to know everything. Nobody expects you to know everything. You know, you're not in the position of God. You're a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a huge difference, which kind of brings me to my third thing, which is a little exercise that I love to do with people. I do this with clients, and it's been called, I think a client ended up naming this the donut hole theory of life and business. And so the listeners, if you'll take a piece of paper, doesn't matter the size, draw two circles, one inside the other, so it looks like a big donut, okay? And so what happens here, and I'll tell you what, this is a powerful concept, and I know that because one of my clients told me that this concept changed her life. So this is huge. You want to do this exercise, and it's something that, you know, tack it up on your wall to take a look when you're going through a difficult time. It's gonna help you out. I can almost guarantee it. The inner circle, the smaller circle, inside of that, write the word control. Mm-hmm. This is your sphere of control. These are things that you can control what the outcome is. Okay? The outer circle, so that is influence. You want to write the word influence.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things that you have influence over, but you do not have control over. And then outside of the donut, write the word everything else. So that's two words. So you want to write everything else outside of the donut. So with that, these are the areas that you have no control and no influence over. Now, the neat thing about this is most people mix these up. They think everything goes into the sphere of control, that they can control everything. And I say that because watch how people react to things. What do they get upset over? What do they get mad over? What do they get happy over? What do they, you know, all these different emotional responses that people have, those all have to do with control. And so everybody thinks they have control over different things. Great example is the price of gas. You have absolutely no control over the price of gas, and you have no influence over it. And yet so many people get so upset over the price of gas.
Right.
Now, this is, somebody had a conversation with me and actually tried to get into an argument with me over this. And I wasn't about to get upset over the price of gas because I don't have control over it and I don't have influence over it. What I do have control over is setting my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, it means, well, gee, do I like the price of gas being as high as it is? No. Do I have to get mad about it? No. What I need to do is I need to take a look at, maybe I need to schedule appointments better so that if I'm going down to one city, well, then maybe I should schedule several different appointments for that day in that city as opposed to going from there to a different city to a different city for, you know, three different appointments. You know, these are different things that we have control and we have influence over. And in reality, the center of that donut hole is very, very tiny. We have very little control over anything. And you don't even have control over how you react in most cases. Because if somebody yells fire right now, you have a physical reaction to that and you didn't even think about it.
Right.
You have control over, it's almost like the second after you react. Am I going to continue to react like that or does this not make sense given the information that's coming to me? What else do you have control of? You have control over whether you're going to give your power over to somebody else. In other words, are you going to allow somebody else to get you upset? You get cut off in traffic? What do you have control over? You have control over whether you're going to get upset or not, and you're going to feel violated by somebody you have no idea who it is. You don't know what their circumstances are. Are you going to get upset? Are you going to feel rejected when you're meeting with somebody, with a prospect, who supposedly rejects you? Are you going to get upset over that? Are you going to feel rejected when, in fact, you probably didn't even listen to what they said? Most cases, no one ever rejects you. What they do is they make an excuse for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the typical excuses that people don't buy, what are they going to say? They're going to say, no, I don't have the time. No, I don't have the money. We don't have the budget. We don't this. We don't this. I don't this. I don't this. It's all about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not anything about you, right? Mm-hmm. And so by feeling rejected, now what you're doing is you're giving your power over to somebody else, and you have control over that.
Yeah,
influence, same
sense.
Type of influence works the same way. What do you have influence over, but you don't have control over? Well, you have influence over other people, but you don't have control over them. You know, you're not a dictator. So you don't have control, but you have influence over your employees. You have influence over your customers and how you communicate. in, you know, what the plans and goals are, and teamwork and team building and all those type of things. You know, how you communicate with your customers, what your customer service is, all those type of things that you have influence over. So that would be the third thing. It's a huge, huge little exercise that you can take a look at every single day in any kind of situation. And you can say, all right, well, where am I in this? What do I really have control over? What do I have influence over? And what's outside of those? Because when it's outside of that, just let it go. You can't control it. You can't influence. So there's no point in getting upset. There's no point in getting anything. You don't have it. It's not going to do anything. So that's what I would say. So three valuable tips that people
take. Those are excellent. What you're basically doing is helping people kind of get control of their own, as much of their lives and their emotions and control of, you know, feeling states or moods as much as possible. One point I wanted to come back on, Matthew, was your number two one. And I had only heard this just a couple weeks ago, but I think it fit into, you know, your second tip. And when they talked about, for example, public speaking, whether it's public speaking or talking to a client. And I just heard this recently, and I don't know if it might have been Alex Mandozian or one of these others that I was reading or listening to. As you know, you're reading and listening to so many people, I can't always grab the source of the ones I'm catching up to as well. But, you know, one of these guys said, you know, if you're nervous, says you are focused on yourself, not the client or the audience. You can't be nervous if you're focused on who you're talking with, the client or the audience. There's no nervousness. The only nervousness will come is when you're there and you're so, how am I standing? How am I presenting? You know, just when you're using, you know, James Malenchek's examples there, that you don't worry about the technique and everything. Just be yourself, focus on the client or the audience, and then things will absolutely start to flow versus this, you know, the self-conscious mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that.
Mm-hmm. So just a little added to that excellent second tip that you gave there. Well, Matthew, this has been fantastic. I want to ask, how can the listeners contact you? If you could give us your contact information, website, phone number, et cetera, that kind of thing, that would be great. Okay.
Yeah, and the easiest ways to contact me, number one, would be to go to my website, which is SomedayIsland.com. SomedayIsland.com. So, you know, people will say, well, you know, where'd you get this concept of, you know, where'd you get this address, Someday Island? How does that fit in? I'll explain that real quick. You know, Tim, have you ever heard of a place called Someday Isle?
Sure.
Yeah, and everybody has at some point.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
You know, the joke is, you know, someday I'll do this, someday I'll do that, someday this, that, and the other thing. So in this case, I just turned it into an actual place, Someday Island. I love the tropics, the Caribbeans, you know, the Caribbean islands. St. Lucia is my favorite island. So, you know, I have this brand of the palm tree, which is part of my logo, and it's really encompasses Someday Island. And so that's the website, Someday Island. And I want to encourage people to, you know, there's a free newsletter that I put out every week. It's the best way.
By the way,
thank you very much.
Newsletter. It really is.
Thank you.
I do my best to reread and reread every word that's on there on a weekly basis. Extremely useful. Absolutely.
So, and it's called Passport for Success. And when you go to the website, first of all, you're going to see my business card, which is a passport because I take people to Someday Island. And so you click on that and you go and you can sign up for the free newsletter. It comes out once a week, comes out Monday mornings, and it gets sent out at 9:20. So I don't know how long it takes to go through cyberspace to get to people, but it's Monday mornings and it's short, it's brief, takes people, you know, 5 minutes or less to read. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I do it every week, to keep it short, because I don't know about you, but I get at least 100 emails a day and, you know, I don't have time to keep up with that. So the shorter, the better is my thought on that. So I want to encourage people to do that, to get more tips. I also do a free monthly newsletter follow-up call to talk about the articles on the that are part of the newsletter. So I encourage people, they can see that as part of the newsletter. The other contact information for me that people can reach me, my phone number is 717-557-5001. And I'll give that again. It's 717-557-5001. And then also by email, people can email me, matt@somedayisland.com, spelled the same as the website, matt@somedayisland.com. I also have a blog in which I write, which is eaddblog.com. So it's the initials of entrepreneurial attention deficit disorder, eaddblog.com. And then those are some of the ways that people can find me. They can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Plaxo, you name it. I've got profiles in about 36 of these social networking sites, so you can always find me through there as well. Lots of different ways for people to find me. I always encourage people to reach out. I'm definitely love to connect people with people that are going to be able to help them. You know, I'm not interested in helping the world. I'm interested in just helping a small little bit of people directly, but I am interested in helping people beyond that small niche and putting them in touch with the right people. And so I would encourage anybody to reach out to me and, you know, I want to get to know more and more people, as many people as possible, be a resource for people that, you know, if I can't help somebody, that's fine. At least I can put them in touch with the right person. So those are some of the ways that people can reach out to me.
Well, that's fantastic, Matthew, and I can certainly say thank you as well, because just yesterday, I mean, you walked that walk. You put me in contact with a very interesting gentleman. We already made contact with each other, and it looks like, you know, there's some real good things in common that he and I have, and I really appreciate you know, you extending yourself like that. So he and I have actually talked yesterday as well as today, and definitely some real good things. This has been great overall. I can really tell, you know, as far as your passion and your excellence really came through very, very well on this interview, and just shared some wonderful information, and it's going to be very helpful, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the very near future.
Well, thank you so much, Tim, and I want to offer one last special thing for people.
Absolutely.
That listen to this. You know, I have a book that I'm a co-author on. I contributed to. It's called Speaking of Success, mm-hmm. And there's about a dozen authors. The big three authors on it that most people are going to recognize are Ken Blanchard, Jack Canfield, which I spoke about before, and Stephen Covey. And, you know, the special that I'm offering for the people who are listening to this call and listen to it later is, you know, I'm giving this book away for $10 a piece. And all they got to do is contact me. They can go to the website. They can order through the website, but they can also call or send me an email. You know, let me know that you heard this call from Tim. And, you know, I'm happy to send that out. That includes shipping. That includes everything, $10
to get it to
you. So, that, you know, I'm not looking at getting rich off of books. I'm interested in getting the message out there because, you know, the part of the book that I write about is about EADD, and I want to get the message out about that. So I just wanted to make sure that people are aware of that.
Sure. No, that's a great help. Matthew, I'm going to stop this recording. Can you just stay on the line for a minute or two once we're done here? Do you have a minute
Absolutely.
Or two?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again for the opportunity to do this.
Okay. Well, thank you, Matthew. I'm going to stop this now, and I'll catch you here momentarily.